Hello there, and welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church here in Maple Shade on this Sunday, March the 22nd, 2020. You know, I remember when I was a little kid before I was school age, we used to watch a television show called Romper Room. And the teacher, Miss Nancy, would like hold up this little magic kind of magnifying glass or something, and she'd be able to see us kids at home. And she'd be going, I see Jimmy, and I see Susie. And I can remember times standing in front of the TV. I'm right here, swinging my arms because she wasn't seeing Vincent. And I couldn't figure out how is she possibly missing me, right? Well, here I sit, or stand, right? And here I imagine where you sit. And it's easy for me, right? Like I can stand here right now and, hey, Tom and Marlene Janssen, I see you right over there. Good to be with you today, right? Keith and Jody, good to see you here today. It's great to have you with us. Yes, Rebecca Craney, Robbie Sullivan, I see you in the back row there of the balcony. I know you're not here, but I trust where you are, this video today is going to be meaningful to you because our desire is to stay together in fellowship as a church. And may this worship video cause you to be so convinced that Jesus is right where you are.
This is my confidence, you never fail. everyone. I'm Kathleen Thompson, the office administrator here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I just wanted to remind you all about our online presence here at Emmanuel. And our number one place for information would be ibclife.org. And the number two would be if you guys pull out your smartphones and search in your app store for the Church Center app, you'll find some more updated information as it comes to us. I wanted to also remind you that we have a youtube.com/Emmanuel Baptist Church Maple Shade, where you can find our videos and our updated messages from Pastor Vince. Often he's walking through the church updating things, and his messages will be on there, his weekly messages. And also I wanted to remind you of our facebook.com/IBC Maple Shade. And lastly, you can find us on Instagram.com/IBC_MapleShade_NJ. So we're always available by phone in the office. Pastor Vince, Pastor Greg, myself are here to answer any questions that you might have. And also the most direct way to send an email would be to kkibclife@yahoo.com, and I will be sure to pass the information on to our great pastors. Thank you so much, and hope to see you on our online services.
Hi, everybody. Nice to be with you. I'm Dave Betts. I'm the Emmanuel Baptist Church treasurer. As treasurer, one of the items I concern myself with is managing church offerings, managing offerings from you, God's people. At Emmanuel, there's a couple ways that we give, and you can even give just from the comfort of your own home. Often we receive checks. If you're so led to give by check, you can do that. You can write a check and send it in the mail to the church office. The church office address is 233 East Main Street, Maple Shade, New Jersey, 08052. The other way to give is electronically. We use a service called Tithely. It's spelled T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, tithe.ly. And that comes in two forms. There's a web-based form where you can fill out a web form. The way to do that is to go to the church website. The church website is a great resource for many things, one of which is online giving. So if you go to ibclife.org, go ahead and scroll down, and you'll see a big banner that says online giving. Click that online giving button and you're presented with the Tithely form where you can put in your name, your offering amount. You can choose whether you want to give to general fund or building fund. And then make a note that at the bottom of that form, there's also an option to choose whether you want to use credit card or ACH, which connects right to your bank account. That's the web portion of Tithely. Tithely is also available on a mobile platform. So if you go to the App Store for your mobile platform, whether it's Android or iPhone, you can search for the Tithely app, again, T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, and download the app. When you download the app, the first thing you'll want to do is perform a search for Emmanuel Baptist Church, and you'll see Emmanuel Baptist Church, 233 East Main Street, in the app. Select that as your church, and then continue to fill out the forms, and you can continue to give that way. Thank you so much for your caring heart. I can tell you that the pastors and all the ministry leaders continue to work hard to minister to you and to this community, and we're so grateful for them. Thanks so much, everybody.
Sun, moon, and stars in their Good morning, brothers and sisters at Emmanuel. My name is Erica Ellerson. I'm a deaconess here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And today I just wanted to give a few words of encouragement and just give a verse of encouragement too from the Lord's Word and just give a short prayer. The verse that I've been praying over and just that the Lord laid on my heart was Psalm 46:1. It's, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help through trouble. And we know that the world finds all this today as just trouble. But we as believers, we can take refuge in our Lord. We know that He's there for us and He can get us through all this. We know that God's plans are perfect regardless of what is going on in the world. And we need to lean on Him and take our refuge in Him. Now, if we could just say a word of prayer and bow. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body that you've allowed to come together, Lord. Just being together at Emmanuel, but right now through technology, we're able to meet, Lord, and just give you praise and give you glory. We know that through everything that's going on, your plans are perfect, and you know that everything that is going on right now, Lord. I pray that you protect us from this virus, Lord. Protect those that have already been diagnosed. Just give them a sense of peace in you, Lord. And just pray that we as believers, that knowing we could just be a help for those that don't know you, Lord. We could just help send prayers. We can just know that you are there. We can show unbelievers that we are strengthened by you, that we take refuge in you, Lord, and that, again, your plans are perfect through all this. Lord, and I just pray for those that can't get out, that are struggling to get food or just supplies, basic supplies that they need, that we may be a help to them, regardless if they're believers or unbelievers. Send those people our way, Lord, so we can show them the gracious love that you gave to us that we can give to others. I thank you for this time that you've allowed technology to come and play so we can lift your name and we can praise you together as a church body, Lord. And I just thank you for the church people here, like Nate and Pastor Vince and Pastor Greg, Christine, and if I forgot anybody, I'm sorry, but everybody that's helping to get this behind the scenes and on video, Lord, just so we can come to you. Thank you again, Lord, and I praise your holy name. Amen.
Hey there, folks. Pastor Vince here. Boy, I hope you were able to get outside on Friday. What a day we had, right? I feel bad for any of you that really were, including you, Dad, my father, who still has been dealing with his pneumonia. But to be able to get outside on such a beautiful day, you know, whenever we have a day like that, that spring day like that, it just always has a way of kind of reminding me of my own journey, of my new life in Christ. Because I was baptized in the spring of 1975, when I came to faith in Jesus. And I remember being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus told us. Jesus said to us to go to all the nations and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The beauty there of what? Our triune God, the Trinity, that I've come to just kind of just get to know more, as mysterious as it is, through the years ever since, right? I mean, the Trinity, one God, but Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's mystery there, but there's so much beauty in this, you know, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, right? This all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everywhere God who is one God, and yet within the Godhead, it's mysterious to us. It blows our mind. But there is three persons. There is relationship. There is fellowship. And that's what he has created us in, that image, right? We read in Genesis that God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our own image. And he did. And we can have perfect fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfect fellowship with each other. And yet we're well aware what we preach at just the foundation of the gospel message, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we've destroyed that fellowship. We've entered into spiritual death with sin. And yet that's where the beauty, once again, the beauty of our triune God comes forth, because the Father says, I'm sending the Son, right? To do what? To go rescue us out of that brokenness. We're vulnerable people. You know, we're dealing with this. I'm not with you present right now, right? Because of this COVID-19 virus. As a matter of fact, our vulnerability is magnified as the authorities tell us, social distancing, stay away from each other because you make each other vulnerable. I want us to see some passages today that remind us in our brokenness, Jesus doesn't keep his distance. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit come to us. And so the first place I want you to look is open up your Bible to Mark chapter 4. In Mark's Gospel chapter 4, I'm going to be looking at verses 36 to 38 to see a real human moment of desperate need that they're facing. Real difficulty, right? In verse 36 of Mark chapter 4, what do we read? We read, and leaving the multitude, they took him along with them just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? I don't know, what are some of your thoughts, what you're like, with anything like this virus? We have genuine things we're experiencing that are happening that can range from a nuisance to real difficulty. Then there's other things that we can worry about. In life, sometimes we have scenarios. To me, being on a boat in the middle of a sea, knowing you're going down, knowing that in a few minutes, I'm in the dark water, treading water for who knows how long, right? That's the situation that they're facing. It's real. It's historical, out of their lives. A tough situation they're in, desperate situation. We'll come back to it, but turn to John's gospel. In John chapter 5, we see a different type of desperate situation, right? In John chapter 5, we read in verse 1, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. And when I was in Israel, and Greta and I were in Israel, we saw this very pool. It's still there, not being used, but they show it to you. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. Now here's the key. There was a certain man there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Think about it. Seriously, imagine yourself. You're on the ground. You have no ability to walk. Your only ability to move around is dragging yourself across the ground. And he's trying to get into the water by pulling himself. Nobody's helping him. Not only are they not helping him, they're cutting in front of him. I mean, I don't know when this virus first occurred, if you happened to be one of those people who was going into the store to get your toilet paper and the shelf was empty, and you got in line, and there's the guy with this cart full of like the mega packs, and you kind of had that sense of, I can't believe this. I got nothing, and he got in here before me. I know they're regulating that now. That's nothing compared to this guy. Trying to drag himself along the ground. Somebody else cuts in front of him. It's a desperate situation. There's another one that we read about back in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5, and in Mark chapter 5, what do we read there in verse 1? And they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Verse 5 is as painful a picture you're going to see. Constantly, night and day, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gashing himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. Imagine this guy's life. Imagine having a condition where you're spontaneously punching yourself, gashing yourself with rocks, where you have no control for his because of demon possession, right? I think I may have shared it with you before years ago when I would visit our dear Don Altabell, who's with the Lord now. And I watched the progression of MS on him. And sometimes I'd go to see him and I'd take him communion. And just, you know, you'd have to put it up. He put it up to his lips. And I can remember on one occasion him saying to me, "Can you do me a favor? Can you uncurl my fingers?" I said, "What, Donnie?" "Yeah, I'm just, my arm's aching a little bit because of my fingers are clenched. Will you uncurl them?" And he didn't have the ability to open his fingers. And as I opened them, he could feel it. As I opened his fingers, he said, "That feels good." Whew. Talk about perspective. How I went home thanking God for being able to open my fingers. But that kind of a situation this man's going through, desperate. Whew. Brokenness. Vulnerability. And what do we see Jesus doing? What do we see the triune God doing? John 3:16 tells us what he did. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world. And here comes Jesus, right? In John chapter 4, he meets them where they are. They're going to be drowning in the sea. And in verse 39, we read, "And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm." And he said to them, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith, right? Jesus steps in, calms the storm. In John chapter 5, the man who's dragging himself along the ground, right? The passage that we were in, Jesus comes up to him and says, what, do you want to get better? And the man tells him his desperate situation. And we read in verse 8, Jesus said to him, arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Verse 9. In the passage that I had referred to there in Mark chapter 5, the man demon-possessed beating himself. What do we read that Jesus does? Jesus sets him free. And we read in verse 15, and they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. They were stunned to see it. One other passage I want to turn you to, back in the beginning of Mark, Mark's Gospel chapter 1. For in Mark chapter 1, we read a story about a man who was a leper. And we read, and a leper, verse 40 of Mark 1, came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, we need to understand what leprosy was like back then. I say this with concern for any individual, any life that is impacted by a loss of life due to this COVID-19 virus. With that in mind, the reality is what the CDC is telling us, the overwhelming majority of people who get it are going to recover. Not with leprosy. Back in the day of Jesus, when you had leprosy, when you began to notice it, when you began to realize it, it was horrendous. Because you went to the priest and the priest declared you unclean. And you talk about social distancing. You were sent to go live in the caves and in the graveyards until you died of leprosy with all the other lepers. You couldn't get near anybody. Max Lucado, in his book, Just Like Jesus, shares about this account here, the leper who's in that condition and fell on his knees before Jesus. And he talks about just imagining how this unfolded in this man's life and the day that he first began to realize it. Maybe he cuts his hand and he doesn't even realize he cut it. Till his wife says to him, your hand's bleeding. Because he doesn't feel it, because leprosy takes away the feelings in your fingers and it slowly begins to just deteriorate your body. And he kind of, Lucado tries to imagine that scene, what that man has experienced on the day that he becomes to realize, I have leprosy. And he says, picture the man standing there as he becomes aware of this cut on his hand and he didn't feel it and his wife is standing there. And he says this, that for the longest time I stood over the basin looking at my hand and somehow I knew my life was being forever altered. His wife says, shall I go with you to tell the priest? No. He sighs, I'll go alone. And think about this, and it's Lucado personalizing it, but the man says this, I turned and looked into my wife's moist eyes. Standing next to her was our 3-year-old daughter. Squatting, I gazed into her face and stroked her cheek, saying nothing. What could I say? I stood and looked again at my wife. She touched my shoulder, and with my good hand, I touched hers, and it would be our final touch. See, we're experiencing some social distancing, but we know it's for a time. But maybe you're dealing with something that, a sickness apart from that, that you've been told your days are numbered. This fellow dealing with leprosy, his last touch. Until we met Jesus. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And we read in Mark 1 and verse 41, and moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Lucado says, the man again personalizing this, 5 years ago, my wife had stepped toward me. She was the last to do so. Now Jesus did. I didn't move. I just spoke, Lord, you can heal me if you will. Had he healed me with a word, I would have been thrilled. Had he cured me with a prayer, I would have rejoiced. But he wasn't satisfied with speaking to me. He drew near me and he touched me. 5 years ago, my wife had touched me. No one had touched me since until today. See, that's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. And he didn't just come for people 2,000 years ago. He came because he wants you to know, I am coming to you today, right where you are. I want to be with you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit created you because they want to be with you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son because he wants to be with you. And Jesus tells us that, right? We read in John chapter 15 over and over that Jesus says, what? Abide in me, be with me. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, it says that Jesus called the disciples that he might be with them. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, what does Jesus say? Lo, I will be with you always. How about those beautiful words in John chapter 14, verse 18? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live. You shall live also. And in that day, you shall know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And he says in that passage, I'll send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, coming to you to be with you, no matter what you're facing. Whew. That's our God. That's our triune God. That's our Jesus. Came to this earth that he might pay for my sin, that I might turn to him in faith and find everlasting life through forgiveness and life with him. Why? Because he wants to be with me, not just someday in heaven, but right now, every day. That's why Revelation 3:20 says that Jesus says, I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone will let me in, open the door and let me in, I'll come in and fellowship with them. He comes to us. When this sermon's over, I want you to Google the name Kenny Marks and the song Right Where You Are. Because I want to quote those lyrics. I think I got them in my head, right? I remember listening to them. I remember crying to them numerous times. He says this, you say it's all but over. You say there's no use in trying. You say he'll never, ever hear you crying. But when the tears are falling, you know he's heard you long before you turn to find that he's been with you all the time. He is right where you are, right when you need to know that someone cares, right where you are, saying, I love you so, and I always will be there. Whew. Father, we just thank you for the truth of these passages that remind us of your love for us. Oh God, forgive us that we let the busyness of life distract us. Thank you that you stop us sometimes to remind us that what matters most is to be embracing your presence in our daily lives. And now, may the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide on each and every one of us, both now and until Jesus Christ comes again and then forever, I pray. Amen.